Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Down here in the fiery pits of the rugby dungeon. And here we are for another podcast. I still cannot get my head around anyone that would just think about taking the summer off.
Lazy.
Well, no, I'm looking forward to this because whilst there's not so much actual rugby to talk about, although still is some.
It means we can talk about rugby, though.
That means there's so many things we can really get our teeth into. And to that extent, we've already got some great questions and stuff in on Twitter. So at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us there. We're streaming on YouTube. We're in the Rugby Dungeon. I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
And that's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Right, so much to talk about today. I'm just going to dive straight in on where we kind of put it at the end of last week's podcast.
Hang on, before you do, I have got a question for you, which is not based around rugby.
Well, then,
but it's based around your other job.
Okay.
Right. So,
which other job?
I have been going down the rabbit hole of YouTube, as you might imagine. And there's three people I've been watching interviews by, which will shock you because it just will. So number one, Dana White. I cannot get enough of Dana White in Dana White interviews. I wish we had a Dana White in rugby mouthing off to everyone. That would be amazing.
So that's UFC.
UFC's Dana White.
Dana White.
That would be, instead of like, you know, every week there's a worthy campaign. I just want someone going around shouting at people.
In terms of professional skill, one thing I've just noticed, Phil, you do it so naturally. You think about our listener and provide context when necessary. So he just went, "You mean UFC's Dana White, yes. JB?" He's such a generous podcaster.
Now the other one that I've been watching, one is Eddie Hearn, and the other one is Noel Gallagher. Now, I do not care for music one bit. I cannot stop listening to Noel Gallagher interviews. He's bloody brilliant.
He's amazing.
Have you ever interviewed him?
He's co-hosted the breakfast show.
Has he?
On my breakfast show on XFM.
I bet that was good fun.
It was amazing.
He's so bloody funny.
It was amazing. I've done the same with Liam Gallagher a number of times as well. Noel doesn't give a damn. I love it. Brilliant. And it's you know, linking this to rugby, I'm hoping The sort of censorious outrage mob that there is are gradually whittling down the willingness of rugby players to be like that.
Yeah.
And more's the pity.
Yeah, well, I don't know why I started watching Noel Gallagher interviews, but that's it, I'm hooked now.
He could be a comedian.
He actually could.
He's got such
natural timing.
He is so funny.
Crack on.
No, I mentioned the censorious outrage mob. We talked about it towards the end of last week's podcast. We can very briefly just strike off and get through the Israel Folau update. The latest, Phil?
Shortly after we recorded last week, his GoFundMe account got taken down because their statement was it breached the terms and conditions. Yeah, they found a loophole in their terms and conditions. Within a day or so, he had another, a pro-Christian funding page.
Australian Christian Lobby.
Yeah,
I think it's called.
Yeah,
or something like that.
20,000 people donated.
Well, in 24 hours of that being live, he'd already surpassed his previous total.
And they shut it at the point they shut it down after 3 days. I think.
Yeah,
he got triple the amount by double the people in half the time.
Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. If you want to create a monster, that's how you do it.
Yeah, because you're actually putting people who probably weren't supporting him originally. Like, I had no sympathy. I said that last week. No sympathy at all. And I actually felt I wouldn't say sorry for him, but I was the ability to take away his right to just air his opinion and defend himself. I thought that was totally unjust.
Or to ask for voluntary donations.
Yeah, totally voluntary.
It's so funny. It's so funny because you, you can't. It's undeniable, isn't it? So now it'd be a case of every time that someone donated, or you know, this number grows and grows and grows. It's no longer he's raising money. Oh, he's taking advantage of poor fools. I mean, they can't possibly have made their own decision. And the worst part about it is, like, they've actually made him worse. They could have got rid of him by just saying, yeah, that's Israel. He's a little bit fringe, a little bit nuts, and we just never mention him again. But they've made him into some bloody hero now. And he was never a hero. He isn't a hero.
No, he's not.
No, he's definitely not a hero.
No, he's not. Well, it's more than that. They've
he's a bunch of tools.
They've made him into a kind of hero, scapegoat, victim. Yeah.
There's no good guys in the whole thing.
And they've also really put themselves at odds with a huge number of rugby union players.
A huge number of Fijian and Tongan.
Absolutely.
Samoan rugby players? Yes, most certainly.
When they could have reiterated what their values are, what their stance is, without alienating. They could have shown a lot of love and compassion for those people.
Just don't renew his contract. Anyway.
And that's what I find really interesting, because a lot of people, one of the things that's said a lot is because they're concerned about the safety of gay people, or people that are confused about their sexuality. And if Israel Folau's views were actually a danger to people, then I would have thought the focus of people with that genuine concern would be about changing those beliefs. Instead, it's just about bloodlust on one guy.
Exactly.
And Rugby Australia can do whatever they want, as they have done, and as may well be upheld in court. But I believe in free speech and free expression, not because I like the idea of people shouting horrible things at each other, but because the more you hear bad, fringy, outlier ideas, which is exactly as you say what Israel Folau's are, the more you realise that is an outlier, fringy, bad idea. And sunlight is the best disinfectant, and it would have got smaller and smaller and smaller. Instead, Rugby Australia and the outrage mob on Twitter have just made it bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's I would say that is idiotic.
Yeah, way to crush your own car.
Well said, Tim.
Israel Folau's done.
Yes.
Good. Should we talk about something a bit more positive?
Yes.
Should we talk about our live show for 30 seconds?
Oh, yes. It's going brilliantly. Thank you so much to everyone who's already signed up to come along. We're looking forward to a great day on Saturday, the 7th of September, the day after England play Italy. So I imagine there's probably some people that are going to be watching England v Italy at Twickenham, staying in Twickenham, and then coming to, well, not just our live show, but a whole day of live shows run by podcastlive.com. Rugby takes centre stage in Twickenham's East Stand, with shows starting at 10 in the morning. Our live podcast is at midday, going on all day long with some...
we're not podcasting all day long.
We're not.
Yeah, good.
No, we're going to be in the bar. And, we're going to have a little snoop around Twickenham, see if we can...
Would you prefer to go for beers or Negronis afterwards in Twickenham?
Happy Negroni Week, by the way, Jed.
Happy Negroni Week, everyone, yeah. Quite.
100 years.
So this live podcast, because, again, this is overdue because we couldn't do the Tier 2 tour this year. This is our Tier 2 tour, belatedly, World Cup preview, launching JB's bid to be an RFU councillor.
Yep.
Councillor? Committee
member? Yeah, whatever.
Whatever it is.
The guys with the expenses. I want the expenses.
And a Negroni party at Twickenham. We want you to come along. We would love to see you there, to join loads of people that have already signed up. It's going to be a really good day, a full day, and this is how to start a World Cup. The day England fly off, we'll be at Twickenham to preview the biggest rugby show on earth. So podcastlive.com, get your tickets, put us as your preferred podcast, you'll be guaranteed a seat, you'll be one of our VIP guests there, and we'll make sure you're well taken care of. podcastlive.com.
Excellent. Leicester Tigers are up for sale.
Yeah, did not see that one coming, neither did you. For someone who every few weeks says there's going to be a big Monday morning meeting with the Tigers.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they're up for sale.
What do you make of it?
Don't really know.
What does this say? What message does this send about? Is there a bigger message, or is this just about the club?
It's an interesting question, that, because I think there's a bigger message that the game is becoming more valuable, and with CVC, having a look at Premier Rugby and the enormous figures that were talked about, the £6.1 billion that was talked about for the global game, the World Rugby proposal, I think it is becoming a bigger and bigger game. So that is one side. I think this has a nod to that. The other side is from the Leicester side, which is a recognition that all the things and the way that their club was operated over a number of years that led to all of their successes, all of the consecutive knockout stages, finals, all of the Premiership wins, the landscape has changed. And I think this, to me, signals a recognition of that fact and an intention to do something different from the Leicester side.
That's interesting.
They have addressed a few glaring issues, though, which is good to see.
They're not a club like with one owner, like a lot of Premiership clubs, are they?
There's like a handful of them. So there is a guy who's like 46%. It's Scott someone or other.
Mm.
Tom Scott, yep. Who owns 46%. And I'm sure that, what's his name, owns some shares as well. Peter Tom? And the rest are in a trust, I think, for the fans. I think something like that. But they have solved a glaring issue, which is important for them. They've added two new members of management. Jan McGinty finally came over. He was the guy who signed a lot of good guys for Worcester back in the day. I think he's working at the SIU. And they've appointed Pat Howard as a mentor of some sort. So it'll be interesting, won't it, when the finance guys come in and say, yeah, there's 60 million. Just talk us through your management structure. How does this work? So all fun and games.
You'll need Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind or Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting to come and explain that one.
Or the guy from The Hangover.
Yeah.
When he's, I can't remember what casino game he's playing, but yeah.
They must have an astounding amount of non-playing staff there. An astounding amount. Mind you, it is a big... No, non-playing rugby staff, not commercial, non-playing rugby staff.
But non-playing rugby staff is important as long as they're correctly utilised. Like Saracens, when you see the Saracens behind-the-scenes guys, there's a whole host of, not just the strength and conditioning guys, the academy coaches, the physios and the team docs and that side of thing, but the analysts and the performance analysts and all that side. So
it's
important.
Sale Sharks have one analyst. They have, obviously, Steve Diamond. They have... two coaches, three coaches if you include Dorian West, which I don't know why I wouldn't include Dorian West.
Dorian West, Anglesey.
Oh, Anglesey, that would be a fourth. But the thing is, what's his name? Deacon Forshaw.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you've only got a certain amount of hours in the day anyway. So you can't have access to all your players all of the time. Does that make sense?
Sale are old school, though. Of course they're going to have a small number of coaches.
Yeah. But high-quality coaches.
Well, it's who sets the vision and who, in rugby terms or in business terms, and they can be different people or it can be the same people, but there has to be that clarity of who is setting the vision. And that's where Leicester have really appeared a bit rudderless in that it doesn't appear that there's been that. That's where we're heading.
Yeah,
in the way that you look at the Saracens model.
You couldn't say this is the sort of game they want to play.
No, or what Rob Baxter has set up with his... You know, from top to bottom of the club, it all kind of there's a synergy and it all works together. Like even I would say, you know, in my role, working for BT Sport, you can see the clear, amazing synergy that Exeter as a club have, and Saracens to be fair, where the relationship between their head of media and the coaching staff and it's you can see that they are the two best clubs, and that filters down even to that level. They're already one step ahead of where I'm thinking. They already know and they're already solving problems that haven't appeared yet.
Mm.
It's you can tell they're special clubs, top to bottom.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Leicester Tigers are going to do. I know what I've said. I do. I'd basically fire the whole lot or make everyone reapply for their jobs. Effectively,
they have cleared the decks. They got rid of, I can't remember how many. It was more than 10
players. No, I'm
talking
staff.
Well, the staff is another thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, they have brought in Pat Howard, and that's an interesting one. So he's in a mentoring role for Jordan Murphy.
Yep.
And that signals their intent to stick with Jordan Murphy, but also it recognises that he is by no means the finished article, either as a head coach or a director of rugby.
I know we've spoken about this at length. This is why I hate it so much, because by all means, give Jordan Murphy a crack. No one's saying don't do that. But on the other hand, you know, if he's going to run the ship, let him run the ship. Don't then put in, you know, Mike Ford around him, and then you bring in someone else.
Jordan Murphy said he was consulted and positive about that.
What would you say?
Well, I'm just saying what Jordan Murphy said.
I don't want to work with Mike Ford. I can't believe Mike Ford's here. This is a joke. I intend to, he's got to say what he's got to say. So, and by the way, not there's anything wrong with Mike Ford. I think Mike Ford will be a great addition. But, you know, it's all very piecemeal.
Well, they said they've started pre-season in a way that they didn't last year. Because a lot of the players felt they arrived at the season undercooked. Mm-hmm. And the way that was an amazing comment. Yeah, the way that the preseason has started suggests that they have learnt that lesson.
Although they won't have their single most important player for a significant chunk of it in George Ford.
No,
because he is with England.
God, I mean, if you thought he struggled,
or he will be with England.
Yeah, if they struggled last year with him, God knows what this outfit's going to look like without him.
I mean, he was by far the best player. Him, Guy Thompson, when he was fit.
Yeah,
Guy Thompson was superb. Ford was, he is so important to that team.
Yeah, they're going to have actually loads of players missing because all their signings, of course, will be coming from the World Cup.
We can get into this at a much later date. Yeah. England have announced a second training squad.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they've just updated a few players. So they've brought in, so they've not yet considered the Saracens and Exeter boys, which will make up a significant chunk of that squad, which will make up at least 10, probably more players. Probably more like 15. They brought in 5 guys this week.
Okay.
They brought in Courtney Laws.
Nice.
And Piers Francis from Northampton.
Okay.
They brought in Will Hines.
Willie Hines? Who is Willie Hines getting in the squad?
Danny Cipriani.
Well, I got there was a lot of people on Twitter had a pop at me when in the semi-final I mentioned to Willie Hines in my pre-match interview on the pitch. I said, a lot of people are talking about Sippers. What about you for England then, Willie? You know, you still got that burning desire? Because I thought he's got a shout. And a load of people on Twitter sort of said, "What? Don't know what you're talking about."
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. That's where you get that big BT money, Tim.
So, Willie Hines is in there. Cipriani is called up, which was the one that got most of the headlines.
Yes, all the headlines.
And Ollie Thorley got called up as well.
Mm. So
now, more interesting than the call-ups was actually the two players that dropped out.
Yeah.
Which was Marcus Smith.
Okay.
And his Harlequins teammate, Kyle Sinclair. So there's a statement which said...
Ooh. Yeah, it sounds ambiguous. It's all ambiguous, isn't it?
It was a weird statement, and then there's been a few things, nothing from the RFU that I've seen to clarify it, but a few people have clarified it. I think Charlie Morgan and Alex Lowe.
Yeah,
I saw the Alex Lowe one. But yeah, those two, there was a statement that said their preparation would be better aided by returning to their club, which is an interesting, totally ambiguous, like almost deliberately misleading statement.
And does that mean his attitude's not right? Especially when you were thinking about Kyle Sinclair, you know, always the hothead returned. What's going on?
People were speculating all sorts with Kyle Sinclair that he's been...
Crikey!
It appears it may have just been a slight hamstring tweak.
Yes. Ooh. But then that does also raise questions because Mako and Cruis were brought into the squad with injuries because it was felt that they would get better care and attention inside the England squad then. Sat at home on their sofa. So to drop Sinclair for that reason.
It's interesting.
Anyway, I think unless Sinclair has knocked out one of the coaches, he is so important for that England squad.
He is now, isn't he?
Because they've not got huge depth at tight head prop.
And he's a very good tight head prop.
He is. He's a lion. Yeah. He's a good all-round player. Providing you can keep him cool and calm on the pitch, which often he does bubble over, but if you can get his head in the right place... He is vital.
Yeah. So there was an article. There's lots of articles about Danny Cipriani this week, and one of them was England coach offers Danny Cipriani World Cup lifeline. They've got that completely wrong way around. Danny Cipriani offers the World Cup coach a lifeline.
Here's a question from Tom Barton on Twitter to @RugbyPodcast. He said, Danny Cipriani being in the England squad is generating as much press as Burgess circa 2015. As much as I think he should be in the squad, I get the feeling all the media frenzy around it will create a massive distraction. Thoughts? I think there is a danger of that. I think that, yeah, without a doubt there is a danger of that.
I think the problem is Eddie creates his own distractions. Like, he's always messing about with the players, calling people up, not making any sense, not playing the right scrum half at the right time. There's always drama around the England camp. Now, is it like Donald Trump style 4D chess, create a load of mayhem?
Donald Trump style 4D,
yeah,
4D chess.
You know, create a load of mayhem. You don't know what he's going to do next. Just keep everyone on their toes. Or is it just genuinely not very good? And I tend to think it's the latter.
Did you see the interview with him this week?
Donald Trump or Eddie Jones?
Donald Trump saying she's not my type.
The Eddie Jones interview. I can't remember where it was. Was it in the Times as well? But anyway,
it was Times podcast.
Zippers.
Yeah, he was talking around some of the kind of tricks he plays to keep players on their toes and keep media on their toes. Huh. And basically giving deliberately misleading information at times. Don Harmon carrying in heavy traffic. He didn't specifically refer to that. But so this is more. So he was saying this kind of stuff. He also said to keep players and coaches on their toes, he will set up a training session, certain time and certain place, and then just not show up and see how they react to
that. I would love to pull that one in my work. Just not show up.
It was a test.
Yeah.
I have had it where...
So maybe he is playing that four-dimensional chess.
Yeah. So I have had it actually in a rugby setup where the coaches said they weren't going to show up and then they did show up, so they did the opposite. Just to see what we would be getting up to.
Everyone's like...
Or if anyone had ducked out.
Yeah.
Not that kind of thing.
Half the team are six cans deep at that point.
We've all been sent back to our clubs with hamstring injuries. What was I going to say? Yeah, I don't understand why it's beneficial. I mean, if this is beneficial, do you not think they would do it in other organisations? Maybe they do. I mean, have you ever seen it in work where someone just, you know, calls a meeting and then doesn't show up or gives you deliberate or misleading information for your next project, building a hospital?
Maybe not. I've seen people being disruptive, deliberately disruptive and provocative.
Yeah.
Which that does... Sometimes yield results. So, yeah, I can get on board with that.
I don't
to
know.
A degree. Mm. Part of me, when I first read it, part of me thought, is he trying to find a catch-all solution for some of the odd things to defend his players?
Yeah.
And defend the performance of the team at particular times. Last year, during downfall 2018, mm-hmm, and at particular times this year, namely the second halves against Wales and Scotland.
Yeah. Monumental disasters, both of them.
It's also been pointed out by Sergeant Major on Twitter that not only Mako and George Cruz, but Jack Knoll has been in the England training camp with an injury as well.
I wonder what they're going to do with Sippers. I mean, presumably let him run against the first team, I don't know.
We'll see. Another question that's come in. And let's hop to Super Rugby for a second, where we have our finalists for Super Rugby 2019. And Scott Lucas asks, did the Jaguares, who have reached their first final, they reached their first semi-final last week, but they won that, did Jaguares celebrate too much, considering it was only a semi-final? If you check the changing room videos, it looks like they won the championship. They were going for it. They were very, very happy. And I know what he's saying, but... No, they
were celebrating coming out of the dressing room.
Yeah, before the game.
Yeah,
the atmosphere before the game. You've
got to remember,
brilliant.
This is that. I mean, not wanting to stereotype too much, but this is that South American passion. These are playboys.
Yeah, the Puma playboys, the Jaguares.
But how good is it that they're in the final? I love it.
I love it. It was a special performance by the Jaguares. I don't think they did celebrate too much because they are third year in the competition. And they've gone from last to, well, at least second. Their rise has been incredible. Their performances have been incredible. Ominously for the World Cup year, if you're an England or France fan. Mm. So I don't think so. Partly for that, also partly because I give them little to no chance of beating the Crusaders, given that they've got 6 days to the final and at least 24 hours of that time is travelling.
I'd fancy them in Buenos Aires.
I would. If had Had my beloved Hurricanes won, which they were very, very close to doing if it weren't for a Luke Whitelock knock-on slash penalty that wasn't given. But I'll come on to that in a minute. But had the Hurricanes been travelling to Buenos Aires, the Jaguars would have been clear favourites in my mind. Favourites.
But I agree with you. It's going to go the way of the Crusaders.
Travelling to Crusaders.
It's not going to go the way of the Crusaders.
It is.
It's not. The Jaguars are going to batter them.
Here you now, believe you later.
Exactly right.
6 days and how many time zones?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This one's written in the stars. I have full faith in them. And they're bloody massive too.
They are. It's not as if the Crusaders with their pretty much entire New Zealand pack, all black pack, bringing Luke Romano off the bench when Scotty Barrett has a little niggle.
Yeah, they are good, the Crusaders, I'll give them that. But no, I'm going to back the Jaguars all the way.
As for the other semi-final, you're right, Crusaders would look really impressive. Just Lau Mappi is an absolute animal, that guy.
Lau Mappi. So this was a really, really interesting final. Semi-final. And it's so frustrating that the Hurricanes played so badly and such odd tactics early on in the game. For the first 35 minutes. So Bowden Barrett is not the best kicker at sticks in the world for a fly half.
Nope.
He is a very good kicker out of hand normally. A very intelligent, astute kicker out of hand. He kicked aimlessly and terribly and just gave possession to what is a very, very dangerous Crusaders back three and gave it away at really important times as well. So for the first 35 minutes, it was 13-0. Hurricanes weren't in the game. Fortunately for me and for the game, the Hurricanes changed that tactic and they scored just before halftime and just after halftime, and it became a real game. Now, I did moan about the Whitelock hands in a second ago, but unfortunately there were more incidents that led to the Hurricanes' downfall, particularly Marshall not sliding on a ball that was Gruber kicked through, which led to the easiest Munga try imaginable when Sammy Rees picked it up. And also, late on in that second half, then they were putting pressure on the Crusaders and they don't press hard enough on Richie Munga, who makes a break. Him and George Bridge go 95 metres and almost score. But instead of Crusaders defending inside their own 22, Hurricanes are defending inside their own 22 because of a simple... just not chasing and not putting the man down. So
basics.
There's the frustration of the final decision, but Hurricanes let themselves down too many times prior to that to make that the deciding factor, unfortunately.
They're still going to lose to...
Jaguares. It's
going
to be three in a row for Crusaders in my mind.
As for... I mean, that was the high point of the week for Argentinian rugby. The low point is the rumoured, and I must stress it's rumoured, and I'm hopeful that it's going to be a horrible, horrible fake, but a potential Argentina World Cup kit has been unveiled. And let's get into this week's Strip Advisor, where, I mean, if we were giving the Argentina, the rumoured Argentina away jersey, a Strip Advisor rating, it would be negative.
It's a war crime.
That is, from their pass kits, which are so good.
How did they get it so wrong?
Argentina have had, historically, the best kits.
Agreed.
On average, over time. I mean, the odd France kit might be the best, the odd this, that or the other, but Argentina are persistently right up there at the top.
Just don't change it. I don't know why. Why these teams, and they all do it. Why they think they need a new kit every 6 weeks?
Why do you think? Beyond. I mean, why they think they need it?
Because they're stupid. They're absolutely stupid, right?
Cash.
The cash doesn't make any sense because they're putting out strips so often. People don't want to buy the strip because they think, well, I'm not going to spend another £80.
Well, just behind you, that one jersey. I managed to get the very last Japan World Cup jersey from 2015. I managed to get that. I got that from Canterbury, the very last one. Because we went on about how gorgeous it was. But there's a reason why it was the last one, because they totally sold out, because it's a beautiful kit.
Yeah,
who is going to buy that Argentina away kit if that turns out to be their strip?
So I will give you a bit of evidence which hopefully suggests that it's not. I'll show you the two kits that they had, that Nike and Argentina had last year, and tell me if these are not things of beauty. So the home strip is
just gorgeous, just
very simple, very
absolutely
simple,
absolutely gorgeous, perfect.
Beautifully fitting,
actually perfect.
I love it.
Only bettered by the away strip.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Is that the blue one? Yeah, it's excellent. Isn't it? Oh, it really is excellent.
And they are so, so good. How could the collaboration that created those two magnificent? They should be in a museum or something, or an art gallery. How can they create something that, if you go to at Rugby Podcast, you can see the travesty, the abomination that is the rumoured Argentina World Cup shirt?
Mm. So my point is, if you'd never changed your shirt or changed it once every 5 years, someone might actually go out and buy it. It makes so much more sense. I've been talking about this for God knows how long.
I totally hear you. I do. You have been. And as Argentina have proved in recent years, classic, simple is best. Mm. And France, in their World Cup kit, let's move TripAdvisor on to France. Have a look. There it is.
I like that.
It's just that it's the bright royal blue. They haven't gone for the dark blue. They've gone for the bright kind of royal, the blue that I think of when I think of French rugby. They've changed their crest. I mean, the collar is kind of white, and it's all blue, and they've changed the crest. I used to like the white patch with the red cockerel inside.
Or the red patch with the gold cockerel.
Or the red, yeah, exactly. Mm. But they've just gone for no patch.
I like that.
No shield, just a red cockerel.
You're getting to a stage now, aren't we, though, where there are too many things that need to go on rugby shirts. So everyone's struggling because you've got to have the World Rugby badge.
You've got to have that on right side of the chest.
Yeah, your manufacturer's got to get on there. Then you've got to get your actual crest.
But for the Union, which for the Springboks, where they have got multiple different badges. Yeah.
You just don't have enough room, just not enough real estate. Why can't they just make a badge, right, which has the flower thing and the deer thing together? Why can't they just do that rather than have, like...
Why can't a sponsor sponsor the crest? That'd be good. Have, like, you know, 888 betting written in the red cockerel.
Perfect. Perfect. The romance isn't dead.
So France have unveiled their kit. New Zealand have unveiled their kit.
That's an amazing kit.
It's a gorgeous kit.
Yeah. I mean, now, I often think that the people that design the New Zealand kit are lazier than the people that design the Porsche 911, right? But fair play to them. I mean, you've got to do something with this kit which has not been done before. So they've had some awful gimmicks in the past. The blackest ever kit.
That was...
Which is two tones.
Yeah, black. Yeah. Quite a lot of grey on that one.
What was the other one? The strongest ever kit. You couldn't rip it, which is a real selling point. But this one looks amazing.
Yeah, this one. I'm a big fan of this one.
Now, what is the little thing? Is it ferns that it's got all over it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's simple. It's... Yeah, I really like it. Really like it. So... I'm hoping that the Argentina ones are fake. Leinster.
Oh my god!
What was it? Leinster have tried to do as their gimmicky?
I tried to watch the video. Let me see if I can find this now,
because this is confusing. Ill thought through, ill advised.
Back in the day where like the .com boom was in full flight. And people just didn't ask the right questions. They thought
didn't ask any questions.
Yeah, like all right,
take my money.
Yeah, like these kids on beanbags know exactly what they're doing. Let's not sound stupid. You can tell that the Leinster board have gone into a meeting with some hip social media bods. Like, yeah, we are out of our depth. Just hand over the whole shooting match to these guys, and that is what's happened.
Yeah, I think it's so. I'll play a little snippet. Here we go.
The electricity that fuels our province built this jersey. It pulls its colour from our skies, never sleeping, only waiting to send shockwaves through those that come up against us.
What does
that
mean?
This is our signal to come alive when that shade of purple cloaks our cities and towns.
What?
This force that courses through the lands of Leinster now runs through the blueprint of this jersey with hoops that mean more. Everyone filled with 140 years of passion and pride. Can you feel it? Live rugby. Live the jersey. Live Leinster.
Good God, that is pure BBC. What's the name? Perfect curve.
So they've kind of got some sort of thunderbolty type things on it.
Electricity, purple electricity drawn from the skies, and when it surround their big city.
Who signed that off?
I have no idea.
And for how much?
Yeah. Oh, I heard of a shocking one today. A certain sports league is paying an ungodly amount of money for social media posts, like an ungodly amount of money once every month. And you think, who are these con artists that managed to get all this money out of sport? Incredible stuff.
Ah, dear. Any other stash watch for this week?
I don't think so.
What stash watch is such?
Sorry.
Oh, no, Gloucester have changed their kit manufacturer to Oxen.
Never heard of them.
Which is a new foray into rugby union, but they haven't unveiled the kits yet. They've unveiled some training kit. But I think they're like a subsidiary or part of the same company as X-Blades. So, northeast-based.
Not Raging Bull?
No, I thought that's what I thought as well. Might have been a little spin-off of Raging Bull, but no.
Okay.
So watch out for a kit coming soon.
It's not really a kit, but it's someone who is available who looks magnificent in a kit. Do you know that Sergio Parisi is now available to sign?
He is.
For the right cost?
Yeah. Yeah.
For an extremely high cost.
Well, no doubt. 35 years old.
35 or
salary cap situation. You know, talking about staff.
Northampton. Northampton.
I was thinking Bath.
No, they've got Faletau and Mercer.
Yeah,
Northampton haven't replaced Picamole. And they did very well with Harrison as their kind of only number eight.
Yeah, he would be rather good, actually. So, either...
And an experienced head for a load of young guys.
And their handling, distributing game that they're playing at the moment. Yeah, I could see Northampton.
I don't want to... It would ruin Parise's legacy to see him do one of those tool station celebrations on Twitter, though.
No, you just shouldn't... Get that written into your contract, Parise.
What tool would he have, though? I assume Parise... I mean, if he was to do one, we'd only have one of those watercolour palettes, and that'd be basically it.
Yeah, what could he do?
Paintbrush, a watercolour palette.
A beret.
Maybe if he was barbecuing something, but even though that would sully his reputation. It would have to be classy.
I like the watercolour idea. You could have him like painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good. That's a really good shout. Actually, I'll go for that. Yeah.
I just think Bath, because you look great in that kit.
He would do.
He would. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're going to have him in a kit, Sergio Parise would have needed to have been in the Harlequins team when they had their 150th year anniversary. Yeah. Mm. I would not put Parise in that green change kit for Quins.
Monstrosity, isn't it?
That'd be a monstrosity. But Bath, you're right. That would be good. So that is the right way to think about where should Sergio Parise play. What kit would he look best in?
So Parise, he will be 36 at the start of the season. So he's 35 now, 36 in a
couple. And he'll be absent until the quarterfinals. He'll be absent until mid-October.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he just calls it a day, actually.
Possibly. I would have thought he'd be able to get... It depends what he wants to do, because he... It is within his grasp to get the all-time cap record off Richie McCaw. He's got 10 games to go to beat it.
If
he plays in the World Cup, games in the World Cup, 5 games in the...
Get to 150.
Well, he gets to 99 if he gets to the final of the World Cup.
No, he would... He would break Richie McCaw's record, I think, if they win the World Cup.
He doesn't need to win the World Cup, he just needs to get there.
No, to get to the final.
He could potentially do it if he plays the third place playoff. He needs a lofty goal for Italy.
So Italy would have to get to a semi-final, I think, for Sergio Parise to equal or beat Richie McCaw's record.
And then he could retire.
It depends. So,
But that's not happening. So
I think that would depend on whether any of the warm-up games are capped, full cap games.
That's right.
So I'm not sure.
Oh, no, I think you're right, actually, yeah.
He's got 10 to beat it. So there's 7 in the World Cup final. So if he has 2 or 3capped games prior to that, which is possible.
Mm. Interesting.
So yeah, Parise, I think he should get another contract. I think he might be sensible to retire from international rugby.
The thing is, like, the money he can get in France. Yeah, if he retires from international rugby, he says to his new employer, "Look, I just want to do one more Six Nations." And then it's over. But, like, what does it matter? Because he'll probably only get a one-year contract anyway.
Yeah. So, at that age, no one... Well, you'd be mad to offer him any more.
Someone might give him 2 years.
It'd be nice if he went to... your beloved Benetton.
That's a good idea.
In the Champions Cup.
Don't think he'd get in the team, though. We're pretty stacked there. Anyone following this lead story?
Briefly. So they flirted with significant financial issues over the past, well...
Being wound up and shut down.
Few seasons.
It was a possibility.
Yeah, it really was. So they've come to...
Not Leeds. Yorkshire Carnegie.
Yorkshire Carnegie. Although the...
That'll work. Call ourselves Yorkshire.
Reading through some of the detail on this, at least one of their stakeholders / parent companies, I'm not quite sure of the structure, is called the Leeds Tykes Rugby Company Limited or something similar to that.
They wouldn't have gone into receivership if they or potentially wound up if they called themselves... What was that? Was that South African? What was the King's company called? The greatest...
Mega Supercorp.
The greatest rugby company in the world ever, limited.
Yeah.
Or whatever it
PLC.
Was. PLC.
Yeah. It was something like that for the Southern Kings. But so they owe significant money. I think the last reports and accounts was in the millions. £1 or 2 million. They have creditors who demand a significant amount of money immediately, and rather than liquidation or administration, they have gone for, and they've got agreement with those creditors to go for a CVA, company voluntary agreement, which means they agree to the level of debt that they're going to repay. So one of the numbers that was talked around for this agreement was £500,000. They will pay a percentage of that, guarantee that those creditors will get a percentage of that, and they can continue trading. Now, that is great. However...
Well, not great if you're... Well...
Well...
Not great if you're, say, and I have... And I have a... Well, nothing. If you're a player or a potential coach or something who'd been offered a contract...
Well...
And then told your club, I'm leaving because I've been offered a contract. And then when you found out you weren't no longer having a contract, now had nowhere to play or coach.
Yeah, yes.
That's not good.
Nope.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of human cost in this that won't hit newspaper headlines.
Well, that is exactly what I was going to go on to. The club will continue trading for now, at least. It will continue playing in the Green King IPA Championship. As far as I can tell, they have lost pretty much their entire squad, and they are trying to rebuild at this stage in June a new squad for games that will be kicking off in 8 weeks. Something like that.
Well, there is
good luck to them.
There is a small lifeline, allegedly, reported in the rugby paper today. Sale Sharks are interested in Leeds, very interested in Leeds. So expanding the setup, like Sale have for Sale FC. They get access to
somewhere
coaches.
To park all their young players.
Yeah, if
they can, because
you're allowed 12 dual registered players, I think.
Is that right?
10 or 12, I don't know.
Well, that just basically gives them an option both sides of the Pennines then.
Well, yeah. That's one of the most advantageous things about Leeds is they've got the academy.
Yeah.
And they've got the academy region that they can select players from.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what Sale, I think. We can cast their net. And I'm sure Newcastle would have been thinking the same if they were in the Premiership.
Sale already have probably the best academy in the country, probably.
Well, maybe behind Saracens. However many British and Irish Lions and England internationals.
Probably best in the UK. And it's only just because it's stronger.
In the UK, better than Leinster's?
that's not UK.
Oh, no, not UK. You're quite right. Quite right. Thank you, Phil. Phew.
It'll be interesting to see how they deal with that.
So we'll watch this space on that one.
Yes. Yeah, interesting bit of news there.
Gatland is saying yes to everyone.
Yes.
Except England.
Yeah.
So Warren Gatland is going to be head coach back in New Zealand. Going back to Super Rugby
Chiefs.
For the Chiefs.
The Waikato Chiefs, or just the Chiefs as they're now called.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't think it's a particularly good move. I don't think his style of rugby will suit what the Chiefs want to do.
Do you think it's a stepping stone to New Zealand?
I don't know.
He will look at it like that. Unless he is looking at it as a stepping stone to retirement.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, well,
it's
that's
a stepping stone in one of those two things.
I don't know what more he could have done.
It's a huge step down
to have got the New Zealand job this time round.
It's a huge. If you don't like, Warren Gatland spends most of his time at home in New Zealand, like 6 months a year,
climbing ladders.
Yeah, he's got a pretty nice life. Now he's going to give up all that to go and coach at Super Rugby, which is brutal. I know it's, you know, well, it is brutal. The travel is just brutal.
It is only 16, 17 weeks a year.
I mean, if he's going to, yeah. But if he was going to do, like, if he was going to do, like, a stepping stone to retirement, he just wanted, a little hobby, whilst he winds down, he could have done, like, one of the Mitre 10 teams or some such thing. This feels like, yeah, he probably is looking for the All Black job.
That's my read. Definitely.
I don't think he should have to do it. It's either he gets it or he doesn't. I mean, can't believe he's probably the best coach, one of the best coaches ever. Like, he shouldn't have to do anything.
Well, but like you say, it's 16 weeks a year plus pre-season and stuff. So there's a lot of people who said, how's he going to be able to prepare for the Lions if he's doing Super Rugby? Well, it's only 4-5 months of the year.
Yeah.
Well, and also, he's taken a full year off for that year.
Yeah.
So he has got a full year dedicated to Lions for preparation.
Mm.
So he'll be able to do even more scouting than when he was coaching the Wales team.
Yeah.
And in New Zealand for half the time.
So it could be Chiefs to tide him over, Lions, New Zealand ready for the next World Cup. That could be the process here.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting at Chiefs. I mean, it can't be Wales money. He's like the one best coach.
He's had years of Wales money and Wasps money and Lions money. He's doing very well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, he's doing great. But
and he's taking his exchange rate back.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's, like, it's a bit of a marriage of convenience, maybe. You know, hey, look, we'll have you for 2 years, and then you go and do the Lions, and you can keep your eye on your game, and so on and so forth. And what if he's going to use the cheat? I wonder how he's going to play rugby.
Bit of romance as well, from his point of view. It's where he started out.
Yeah, but I can also see it's turning rather bad. As good as the Chiefs are, Chiefs. Like, if he doesn't win, and it's ferociously
Chiefs. Yeah, I know. Thieves. Knives.
Yeah, like, if he doesn't start winning games instantly, and he's, and it's not going to be easy, maybe he damages his reputation.
Nah, I don't think he'll damage his reputation. I think he doesn't have to win it. He doesn't have to win the thing. The Chiefs will always do well. They've got phenomenal player pool, and if he can just get them playing a slightly better brand of rugby, get the players slightly closer together, they will be competing for the top.
Who's his first signing?
His son.
Oh, Bryn Gatland, yeah, probably. Followed by Alamon Jones.
I love it.
I'm not sure Alamon Jones would fancy that New Zealand money. Doing that much travelling.
No, thank you.
Going to get beaten up by mutant South Africans and jaguars.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm going to take a giant tangent and a question from Twitter, at Rugby Podcast. Matt Cotton says, can we hear the wedding swing story again, please?
No, you can't.
This is what the off-season is for.
No, you can hear.
Yeah, go on.
So I was out in Barcelona.
Do you not want to give, for any of our new listeners, the abridged wedding swing story, which has become Egg Chaser's legend?
I might do. I'll tell you what I did last night instead.
Okay.
So last night...
The story is... No, I'm not going to tell you the story, but the reason it's become Egg Chaser's folklore is because JB did a podcast from a hospital bed.
Yep.
So we
heavy sedation.
I think we should promise to tell that story in full, not the abridged version, at the live show.
Yeah. So last night, right...
Good call. Podcastlive.com.
I was in CDLC Club in Barcelona. So I've only just got back in the country. And there's always something... Do you know when you're in these sort of clubs... You can always sort of tell that someone is a little bit different. You know,
someone is chemically enhanced.
No, like
is,
like...
is this like when you were different at the R. Kelly concert?
No, it's not like that. No, just, there's something interesting about that person. So I'm looking at these two girls. I'm like, where are you from? And anyway, it turns out I was absolutely correct. She's the daughter of the president of Serbia.
Wow.
Now, that is a claim. Or the ex-president of Serbia, I should say.
See, you give me so much stick for mentioning like what players' wives are up to on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever, and you know the daughter of the president of Europe.
There were two young girls spending far too much cash, and I was like, where are you from? What is this story here? So, my dad used to be president of Serbia.
during the bad times.
Who knows? Didn't want to ask any more questions.
Wow.
At that point, if you hear that, you don't want, I would say this, you don't want to really be talking to the ex-president of Serbia's daughter, let alone get on her wrong side. So that was enough for me to say, right, okay, goodbye.
I went to Montenegro, I think, was it last summer? I think I went to Montenegro last summer, and I was chatting with someone who, their grandfather was, what are they called? They were the black something, the resistance people who shot Archbishop.
Oh, Black Hand.
Black Hand, yeah.
Franz Ferdinand.
Who shot Franz Ferdinand and started World War One.
Wow.
Their grandfather was one of those guys that was there to assassinate Franz Ferdinand.
Amazing.
Phenomenal story. So, but yeah, not the sort of people you were.
Tread
carefully.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, and if, I mean,
avoid hard partying Serbs is my is my recommendation to anyone.
Wise words. There's been some other rugby going on. Do you see the USA Eagles women's team absolutely hammered the Red Roses?
No.
Did they?
No, other way round.
Other way round.
Other way round.
Sorry. Red Roses absolutely
Red Roses hammered the USA Eagles.
I was going to say, one of those is a big story.
It was 38-5, it was. I watched the highlights.
I think USA had the youngest ever capped player playing,
Knowledge. Wow.
So, good performance by England. So, this is quite interesting. It's the Super Series. So, it's the top five teams in the world all playing a little round-robin tournament against each other. So England,
San Diego as well, which
is cool.
Yes.
That's a cool place.
So England comfortably beat USA. New Zealand, I wouldn't call it comfortable, but beat Canada 3-2.
There's not a side centre for the USA who's superb, and I can't remember her name.
Kelter was playing there this weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good performance by England. Good performance by New Zealand. There's France in the tournament as well, who are a very handy team. Interesting thing, I went because the two referees for these two games were Joy Neville and Sarah Cox.
Okay.
So I went to look, I wonder if all the appointments are female referees. And I went onto the World Rugby appointments page, and I don't like to assume anyone's gender, but it does look like in every game, all of the officials are women.
That's weird.
With the exception of the TMO in England versus New Zealand is called Dave.
Dave.
But Dave Ardrey, that might be man or woman. Again, I don't want to judge.
I think in Scotland they've rolled back on the self-identification, so maybe that's not going to be a thing in rugby.
Oh, good.
Who knows?
Well, the reason I don't like this, right, is because surely a tournament of that stature should get not just women referees, but the best referees.
The best referees available to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
The under-20s trophy is about to start in Brazil. This is something, we're sort of linking this to the World Cup. It is a shame, and it's great to have the Tier 2 nations there. It is a shame that their World Cup in exclusively, a Tier 2 side's never got through to a quarterfinal, have they?
I think so.
It depends if you count Tonga.
Tonga, Fiji.
I think Japan had the most wins of any team not to qualify.
Three wins in the last World Cup and failed to qualify.
Fantastic to see them there. It's a shame it ends, and it would be nice, like the Sevens, to have sort of a trophy competition or something
Spain
like that.
Battered Uruguay. Do you see that?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, we mentioned that last week. In the under 20s tournament, they have a tier two World Cup.
Yeah,
which is about to start in Brazil.
Starts next week in Brazil, and interestingly, for anyone north of the border, Scotland will be playing in that competition next year because they got relegated.
Yeah.
From the Tier 1 competition, because they got hammered by Fiji in the 12th place playoff, if you want to call it that, 11th place playoff.
Going to have to go looking for Englishman with a grandparent a little bit harder, I think.
Yeah, well, they're pretty good at that.
And the Olympic Sevens qualifiers are underway as well, which is going to be important. Cause, I mean, that's a big shot window, that.
Yeah.
For national rugby.
It massive shot window for national rugby.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to see who, if anyone, converts, as in 15s players who go and play sevens successfully, like Leonu Nakarawa and Tuisova. Joshua Tuisova did last time.
Wait, when does this Rugby X event start? Is that the same weekend as our podcast?
No, so that is, I think it's when the knockout stage of the World Cup happen. Might be semi-final weekend. It's that time, so late in October. And that's interesting, good to mention, JB, because the Barbarians have been announced.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not especially interesting in itself, but it could set a good precedent, because something that we've long talked about would be, how good would it be to have a Barbarians team in the World Cup? The World Cup proper.
Yes.
And a Barbarians team that, once all the other... You have to select the squads slightly earlier.
Yeah.
Once all the squads are selected, the Barbarians get to choose their 31-man squad from the leftovers, and they get 4 to 6 weeks...
I'd love it, you know.
...with them in proper preparation before the tournament.
It'd be so good. And not only
it's like the reverse Lions, almost.
Yeah. Kind of like you have players like, I'm guessing, Sergio Parise would be right up there, who just wants to get to a semi. So it's like, look, I'm going to... Maybe they retire early.
He's not that old. He's not having a... No, don't worry. I was going to go for an erectile dysfunction gag. Don't worry.
Yeah, so like he goes... Like he retires early. Or, there's loads of things.
I would hate that if Sergio Parise could play for Italy, retired, so he could play for...
What I would like is the redemption story where Danny Cipriani doesn't make it to the World Cup.
Israel Folau's at fullback.
Not a knocks it.
Wow, you could have Israel Folau at fullback, you have Danny Cipriani in, you could have Charles Pietau on one wing.
Yeah.
You watch these unions come grovelling back to their players. Like, no, you can actually play. If you thought you'd see Charles Pietau and Folau... I'm Danny Cipriani.
It will never happen, and
Reece
should
Webb
and,
playing
and
scrum half.
Yeah.
It will never happen, and in my opinion, should never happen. But for a Rugby X event, great.
Yeah. I'm kinda with you, Tim. I think it probably should never happen, but it's quite fun to talk about it.
Communists will hate me for saying this, but I quite like nation states and borders and things. You know. A stickler. Everything alright, Jay?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Welsh and elsewhere on Twitter, Gavin says, right, big question for you gents. It's the burning issue of the day. Touch rugby, trainers and trainer socks, or moulded studs and rugby socks?
I would normally do moulded studs and rugby socks. I have actually done moulded studs and trainer socks.
Pulled up or rolled down?
If I'm wearing rugby socks, I pull them up.
Yeah. I just want to say this. I don't like Zach Mercer, fantastic player. He'd be so much better if he pulled his socks up.
Yeah.
Don't know. Some people are allowed to do it. You get a pass. Some players aren't. Chris Latham, the Australian fullback, was 100% allowed to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
because he'd done it on the bigger stage and made silky runs and 80-yard tries doing it.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
Zach Mercer's not yet earned the right to
it. It was like when coloured boots were a new thing. If you were like a Zinzan Brook, all flair, all court kind of player, then you could pull off. If you
now academy kids have them.
Yeah, well, yeah, but if
everyone has them.
If you were just an up and down grunter in the second row wearing turquoise boots, no. Now it's a free for all, obviously.
What was the question?
Touch rugby, trainers and trainer socks, or moulded studs and rugby socks.
Definitely not trainers. If you're playing touch rugby,
no, absolutely not. What kind of psychopath is this?
You need the grip.
No, absolutely never trainers. I go mental on the lads who show up in trainers. Absolutely mental. Why would you show up to rugby in trainers? That makes no sense. Although I don't mind trainer socks, i.e. the ones which don't even come past the ankle, with boots. I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, I can go for that.
I do that occasionally.
Fine. So boots in all circumstances.
Always boots.
Socks, you take your pick, but pull them up as high as they will physically go.
Yeah, I don't even wear Maldives. I actually just go for full studs no matter what the pitch. Everyone makes a big song and dance about it. It's just the same.
I've played on some pitches where it is not safe to be wearing full
studs.
Yeah,
and I remember, so I used to do, believe it or not, I used to do for the school, I used to 400 metre with my distance, I used to do shot put and triple jump as well.
Okay.
But when I did triple jump, I'd wear spikes. But I went to a county competition where it was a concrete track. I was running on a concrete track in spikes.
Hey, we actually lived, and you'd never know this, but we actually live right next to one of the best venues for athletics in the country. No one ever shows up. Like we're just outside of Longford Park.
Loads of kids' sports days.
I used to go training there.
Did you?
When I was playing, I used to train there.
There's a little bowl outside. Just out, you can just like put. They just say suggested donation £1 just to use the track.
Yeah, it's meant to be a lightning fast track, and you get all these world class athletes coming. And just no one goes to watch. I wonder if they use the Etihad now though. Maybe they do.
I've no idea, but you're
interesting.
Right. If there was a rugby version of Space Jam, whose skills would the Monstars steal, says Matt Hardy on Twitter.
Oh my God, I don't even know what that question means.
Basically, it's just they assimilate the best skills of the best players.
Well, actually, the opposite way to look at this, isn't it? Because doesn't Michael Jordan take them down? Because he'd, in Space Jam, hadn't he retired to or started playing baseball? So they couldn't steal. They didn't steal his skills. And then he comes back to play basketball.
Yes.
Wow.
So the answer to the question, the best way of asking this question is not who do they steal? Who would be the best person to beat the combination of all the best?
So hang on.
Players?
Does Michael Jordan win Space Jam in the end?
Yes.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh. He's only 25 years old.
God, it's like Ross Kemp in Afghanistan all over again.
So basically, who's the best all-round player?
Yes,
that isn't,
that's my question.
That isn't the best at any one thing?
Sergio Parise, probably. Even though we mentioned him 8 times.
Not a bad shout.
Would certainly, up to about 2 years ago. Although kick. Every time I've said he's passed it, he keeps on performing amazingly.
Kick, pass, offload, carry, defend.
Kieran Reid would be good.
Kieran Reid's up there.
Faletau would be very good.
Just list the world-class number 8s and you'll probably have your own little list there.
Yep. Matt Hardy also says, is a hot dog a sandwich? If not, why not? It's a good
question. It's a good
question.
No, a burger's not a sandwich, so therefore a hot dog isn't.
But the difference is that like a burger has the... Because I was going to say the bread's connected with a hot dog, and that might be the difference. But then the same... But then a burger, the bread is not connected.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to lose no sleep over this whatsoever. Zero.
I'm going to say it is not a sandwich because the bread's not connected. I'm with you, Tim.
Interesting.
Or are you saying it is a sandwich even though the bread...
But that means by that definition, you're saying a burger is a sandwich. Are you happy with that?
Chicken McSandwich, McChicken sandwich. Yeah, sandwich. I'm happy with that.
All right, fine.
So you sort it through. There you go.
So pull that bread fully apart and put the hot dog right in the middle of each of half of
them. To do that, you're going to have to slice your hot dog, really. Otherwise, your bread's going to kind of pivot on the hot dog.
Next question.
Unless the onions are all over the shop.
Yeah, unless you've got some onions for structural integrity, evenly balanced on each side.
You can take the quantity surveyor off the building site.
Next question.
Oh, hold on. There's so many.
Would it be a sausage sandwich then?
James,
they exist.
James Hoggarth, this is one for JB, says, will Mora couple up with Denon, and how quickly will Anna pie off Jordan for Ovi?
So I'm out of the game completely at the moment. So I've missed three episodes of Love Island, so I couldn't tell you. But I'm looking forward to getting into it tonight.
Okay. Our Barbarian side in the World Cup, we've done that. Do you honestly enjoy the Brendan Schaub stand-up? Where was that from? Did you mention that?
Long, long, long story. What's going on there? But yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who that is, so no.
Cipriani, the Rapid Rugby, fine. No. Right. Here's a question. Just a bit of a, it's kind of, this will fill the void of no quiz this week. CC Payne has tweeted us at Rugby Podcast and said, how many ex-Canadian players can you name without looking them up on the web?
A great question.
We were talking about this just last week, actually, or 2 weeks ago.
Two, three.
Just say them out loud.
Four, five.
Gareth Reese.
I wouldn't have got him.
He was like the original, he was like their big name player when they were actually really good in the World Cup in the early 90s.
So I'd go Rod Snow, Dan Barr, Al Sharon, is he one?
Al Sharon, yeah.
Al Sharon.
Is he not the Israeli
Yeah, Prime Minister. Yeah, that's why I always have to just yeah, yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu. Daryl Lott, no, he's a Australian.
Evan Olmsted.
Olmsted. Well, he's are we saying ex? Oh, so just he did say
ex Canadian players. Can you?
Does
name?
That mean oh, they think... used to be Canadian? Does he mean Canadian ex players?
I think let's just say Canadian players.
Canadian players.
DTH Van der Merwe.
Yeah. Okay. I've got his name now. The scum half who played at Stade Francais for a long time. Shock of blonde hair. Him. Very, very good.
Is Daryl Kieran Hearn?
Daryl Lockheed.
Kieran Hearn's a good one.
Is good one?
That rings James... about a centre.
Yeah, they played at Tigers as well.
Oh, wasn't there a Winston Stanley?
Winston Stanley.
Yeah,
Winston
good
Stanley.
One.
That's
he was
the one.
A, he was an outside centre.
James Pritchard and Mike Pike, oh, two good. Fullbacks.
Very good. James Pritchard played for a long time for Bedford, didn't he?
Yeah, played against him a few times.
He also played against him. Yeah.
There's one more that I'm missing.
There's an Australian.
Well, yeah,
really.
There's one obvious one that I'm giving. Cuddles. Yeah, Cuddles. I didn't want to steal Phil's thunder.
Norm Hadley as well.
What has happened?
That's very good.
Norm Hadley. Norm Hadley was. Enormous.
What has happened to Canadian rugby?
It's a great question.
That could be a spin-off pod all in its own. Could do a deep dive on some of the tier two nations. In fact, we should do the old tier two pod in the build up to the World Cup.
Yeah, we should do mostly about Spain and how
they should be cheated.
Cheating Romania
and rugby Europe and the rugby Europe establishment. No, that's fine. I think we've ticked off most of the questions. If I've missed, there's a few. No, do you know what? I'm going to say that's all the questions done. What else is on our... There's nothing else on our list, gents.
Good. Let's go.
I've actually ticked everything
off. Oh, no, the World Rugby Law Review, the Independent Law Review.
Oh, please, God, no.
I don't know what this is. So, in a nutshell, what's going on?
So, on Friday, let me just get... There we go.
JB is so into this.
Hates law reviews.
So on Thursday, Friday, there was a meeting.
Take your time, by the way, Phil. Yeah, JB's
really,
loving this.
Really dragged this out. So there was a meeting of players, coaches, ex-players, rugby doctors, and some independent experts, sports scientists.
All the people. If I could get all the people in a room who I don't want making the laws for me, it would be that list of people.
What?
Sports scientists, doctors... Ex-players, no.
Players,
nope.
Players, coaches.
If
lower-level players, lower-level coaches, and a couple of 15-year-old boys who are, yeah. And maybe a rugby league fan or something like that. Fans. You want fans, ex-players, ex-coaches, not particularly... I mean, they just... Oh, right, go on.
So, they were considering...
How do we get the right outcome?
They were considering experimental law variations or discussing potential experimental law variations... that can seek to minimise injuries, not specifically concussions, but all injuries, without materially impacting the game.
Impossible.
So that's the...
Yeah.
Well, some of the changes that they have made over the past few years have actually made the game better, not necessarily saying they've yes. reduced injuries.
I don't mind that, but I think that the key word there, which some people seem to miss, is minimise, because... What we need to get past, and this is I need to not get stuck into this when it happens. Usually, trying to, you know, be an old man yelling at the clouds at all the idiots get going absolutely off their nut about something that should have been a red card. But of course it's possible to minimise, because there is a level which is lower than another level.
I just think we.
But there will always be injuries. That it is a dangerous game.
It's a dangerous
game.
That's
why we play it. That's why we love it. That's why we watch it.
It's a dangerous, like, 150-year-old game. Like, we don't need to change it that much. It's been around for 150 years.
If you don't like dangerous games, go and watch another sport.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous game, and everyone that plays it
knows it. We should own it. We should be like... Yeah. Basically, we need a Dana White-type person who would say, it's a dangerous sport. What did you think you were coming to watch? And then leave it at that.
Yeah.
It will never stop being a dangerous game in my mind, because the right people are looking at this kind of stuff. In my opinion, So there were six proposals. Three of them have been approved for trials, so it might go through to Varsity Cup or Mighty Cup or the Championship
French
Cup.
Pro de deux.
Yeah, something like that.
And they are trying to get experimental laws done in. The pro de deux.
Well, they're doing that this year. No two-man tackles.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, that seems...
It's ridiculous.
Crackers.
I actually thought that was a joke.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was a joke.
Nope. That's happening.
That.
How do you get dominant collisions against big men?
How do you decide who's going to tackle him? If Tim runs between me and you, do I just assume you're tackling to your left?
I guess you would have to.
I tackle to my left.
And it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
That is going to be a disaster. That is so ill-conceived.
Everyone tackles
the unintended consequences of that will be enormous.
That's just not well thought through. No. That's what happens when you let experts meddle with things.
No, French experts.
Yeah,
No. That's just the context. This has come from the top, but that's the place that they're trialing it.
I guess we would all tackle to our left. Yeah, that's just the rule. You always tackle to your left.
Yeah.
Players will end up looking like those arm wrestlers with one massive arm.
Yeah. If you're on the right wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do?
You've got an ambit. You need one guy who can tackle both sides.
Well, no, but that's where you can hide your really bad tackler.
Yeah, Danny Cipriani on the right wing.
I guess you'd have a call then.
No, other wing.
Left wing.
But he's still going to have to tackle to his left on the left
so
wing.
So I guess...
On the right wing, you have to tackle to your left and your right.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to be a better tackler.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say, right, that you now need to be communicating better. So you need to be shouting, I don't know, maybe left shoulders up or right shoulders up, meaning that we're going left or right, depending on where we are in the pitch position. So on your defensive set, I wonder how you exploit that obviously...
As an attacking team, you look for penalties by running off nine every time.
Oh, you run off nine every time and into two men.
Defending a rook on your try line. It's going to be a nightmare.
And you get bigger, you get those huge French guys running straight at 140. You get your big 130 kilo Samoan prop taking a massive run up at the defensive line.
What a ridiculous idea.
Anyway, what are the law variations? Sorry, Phil.
So the three that have been approved for closed trials are the 50-22 kick.
Okay.
Which
works. I like that.
I like that.
I'm interested to see how it goes anyway.
So it works very similar to rugby league. If you kick from your own half and it bounces and then goes into the out of the field of play in the opposition's 22, you retain the ball. Mm-hmm. And the rationale for this is the defending team is going to have to drop more men back and create more space in the defensive line, create a more open game.
So, right. it's not that we will see lots of 50-22s. It will be
the threat of them
will mean there's more space.
The threat is too great.
Well, then, and Lee Halfpenny gets a lot more money because you can defend him on his own.
Yeah, just one guy.
Like Lee Halfpenny, and if you could have two Lee Halfpennies, you would be really, really cooking with gas.
Mm. Oh, but that might be the consequence that it might bring about. Those intelligent but maybe less gas electric back three players guys that are quick of mind rather than, because like Eddie Jones, for example, is going for an ultra fast back three, but maybe you'd have to be more of a Lee Halfpenny type.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Or
Mike Brown.
Yeah. Although someone.
Mike Brown and Lee Halfpenny.
Someone like Cheslin Colby, if there's more space in the defensive line elsewhere on the pitch.
Yeah.
That's quite exciting.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's a trade off.
That's a chess match.
So that's one.
I like that. The fact that those conversations, yeah.
Yeah, it's creating more strategy in the game, which is great. So one of the other ones is the ability to review a yellow card when a player's been sent to the sin bin.
So upgrade it to red.
So yeah, you can only, looking at that, I don't think there'd be the ability to downgrade it. And if you spent 2 minutes off, you can come back on.
I don't like that.
But those ones where it's borderline, you can say, look, it's a minimum yellow. He's in the bin, review it and let me know.
Yeah, the game goes faster. Happy with that.
Although, if you were watching a game and there was a decision over a yellow or red card going on, wouldn't you want to see that thought process and what's happening?
Yeah.
Because what you can do on TV is you can have like a little subset. You could keep the dialogue from the TMO going. But if you're in the ground, you would definitely lose that because they're not going to be showing the replays on the big screen. Because no one's going to be watching the action.
No, but I'm not going to be watching the action either. I'm listening to the TMO and what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I don't mind the idea. It'd be interesting to see how it actually works.
Imagine World Cup semi-final and Sam Warburton gets that red card, but he's actually got a yellow card. And then you're trying to work out, is the captain going to get a red card or a yellow card? And we're all trying to play rugby.
You're just dragging the pain of that decision,
yeah,
which is not going to be a good decision to make.
Nope.
Anyway, the third one that's been approved is as simple as seeking a way to reduce the tackle height to the waist.
Right.
So they've not said how that's going to be done, but they're going to have trials into how they can seek to reduce the tackle height to the waist.
You can't.
Can't be done.
Nor should you, because a hit into the solar plexus is where is like the most dominant rugby hits will happen.
Yeah, it can't be done.
And they're perfectly safe. Well, they're as safe as well, no,
they're as safe as a man hitting you in the solar plexus is ever going to be.
Exactly. But what was that one? It was people went absolutely out of their minds over a Wales fullback in the under-20s World Cup.
Oh, getting hit. New Zealand.
When the New Zealand guy was bent at 90 degrees at the waist, and
I seem to remember this.
Made some sort of glancing contact, yeah, shoulder onto head. And it was given a yellow card.
Yeah.
People went absolutely off their heads.
I wasn't happy with the referee's interpretation of the laws in that regard, but yeah. So those are the three.
Okay.
Those have been approved for trials. We don't know any more details than that.
Fine. Good. Right.
I actually relatively enjoyed that law.
There you go.
Conversation thing. It wasn't terrible.
Not terrible.
Yeah.
Can we put that on a poster for the live pod? Egg Chasers, not terrible.
But from their own mouths.
Also, if you want to come to the Egg Chasers live show, wear one of our tops. Well, if you can still get them, because they're selling so fast at the moment. And if you do, you also get yourself a rugby tie as well. You get a free tie if you get the merino one.
Merino wool keeps you cool in that in the heat.
Yep.
And then if it gets chilly come live podcast time, 7th of September, it will keep you warm.
Exactly right.
So akumashops.com/eggchasers.
Correct. Fantastic.
Podcastlive.com for your live show tickets for our podcast, along with all the other rugby podcasts that are there for that festival of rugby.
Here they are. Obviously the Rucks there.
The Ruck from The Times, Brian Moore's podcast, Will Greenwood from Sky Sports.
Q commentator
Nick Heath. And Rory Lawson, I think, is going to be his guest on that
Awesome.
Who is also part of Rory Lawson, is also going to be there as part of the Under the Sticks podcast, which is the Pro 14 slanted one. I think there might be some other things to mention. We've certainly got some things up our sleeve, which we're working on for the podcast. It'll be a great day, a way to usher in the rugby. We know there's going to be boys from Aylesbury Rugby Club there that have signed up this week.
Good lads.
Some other people, Tom English, I think, was one of the people on Twitter that sent a picture of his ticket.
Tom English, the writer?
No, maybe not Tom English. I'm thinking of someone else. Someone sent us a picture.
Tom English, Melbourne Rebels back as well.
Tom English wrote the amazing book, The Grudge, I think.
Yeah.
Which is ironic, because it's about England, Scotland, and he's a Scottish sports writer.
Yeah,
Tom English.
He's an outside back for Melbourne Rebels as well.
Oh, there we go. God, he gets around.
Yeah.
So,
play for the lad.
Yes. So, and, you know, we're going to be down in Twickenham, the home of rugby. I imagine there'll be tickets for sale for England v Italy the night before. Is that the Friday night?
Ooh.
And then the day of podcasting at Twickenham starts the next morning. So
the real event.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So it's the day that England fly out to Japan. We're doing the podcast. So couldn't it be time better? We hope to see you there. Podcastlive.com. Rugby podcast at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. There's a little link and all the information and where you can follow us, subscribe, tell your mates about the podcast. We are the only rugby podcast going right through the summer. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.